put your hands together. Girl, I just feel you going. Cause we got a message that got this no matter what.
After this, yes, there will be victory. After this, there will be victory. After this, yes. for you, and you can invite him into your heart today. And all you have to do is what Brother Karen just said. Believe in God. Mm-hmm. Confess what you know. Mm-hmm. You that God raised Jesus Christ from that grave, you shall be saved.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. I know y'all say, well, I've done some terrible things. What a wicked man am I? Uh-huh. Pastor saying, oh, what a wicked man would I would hurt you. And now all I want to do is see you in heaven. I'll let you hurt me. I feel like when you do, I get a chance to get a stripe on my back. I get a chance to enter into his suffering. The Bible says that we have to suffer with him. Amen.
Amen.
But today I just want to make sure you understand this hope that we draw. That this commitment that we have that helps us be a witness. It should help us to understand that, so that Christ charged each believer. He charged each believer. See, sometimes we think, well, then he's just talking about these disciples here. And he's not really talking about, I can't witness, and I can't tell nobody about somebody that I wasn't there when he got out the grave. But you are his witness. And if you are a believer, that witness is transferred to you. You are a believer because Christ saved you. You are a believer because somebody prayed for you. You are a believer because somebody led you to Christ. You are a believer because what he has done. And now, all these witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses, all these prophecies that were prophesied that he was going up on that cross, that he was going in that grave, that he was coming out of that grave, that he was going up to glory,
yes,
that he was going to set the captives free.
Yes.
Every last one of them, if you don't know one of them, get a hold of some of them.
Yes.
Because they have a lot of people out here that don't think the Bible doesn't make sense.
Yes.
It comes with studying that it makes sense. Amen?
Amen.
Don't tell me about a book that doesn't make sense and you don't even know where it is in your house. That's what I pray. You got to talk to them sometimes. People. Don't think that you don't. You do. Talk to them all the time like they know everything. But let's do as Christ did today. Let's look to them. Scriptures just for a little understanding. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You know how we do here. You got your few Bibles, you can go to page 1131, John 1 and 1. Mm-hmm. Everybody probably knows this, amen? You've already kind of heard it in your hearing. This is why we are his witnesses, amen? I'm just trying to get you to be his witness today, amen, when you leave this place. That you'll tell somebody about what God has done for you. That you'll tell somebody how he took your... I took your medals and your stuff and fixed it and blessed you and turned it around and you have faith and you can go sleep at night, you can rest, even though it ain't stop, Bert. I said, well, Bert got that, I can go sleep. I have a confidence in him that he said in John 1 and 1, in the beginning
was
the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Oh yeah, the Bible says that the Word that they got up on that cross,
yes,
was with God before the foundations of the world began. It was already appointed. And no, you're going to run into some people that say, that was just a man up on that cross. You can tell it was not only just a man.
Yes.
That was God.
Yes.
Up on that rugged cross. Why would God get up on that cross with a rugged man? Because there was no other way. Understand me? I'm trying to help y'all today so you can help somebody else. There was no other way that man might be saved. Nobody else had this pure blood. Nobody else had this sinless nation. No one else could do, could satisfy the justice of God. No one else could escape the wrath of God. So he had to send his son in the fashion of a man. I said fashion. Because the Bible says he had a better sinless life. And he got there for us so that the sacrifice could be paid.
Amen.
So that we could be forgiven. So that we could make it through. So in the beginning, you see, the Word was there. And then if you look over in 3:16, like Brother Farrington just told you on page 1134, you're right there. Right? Amen. John 3:16. Y'all already know. We shouldn't even have to go there. What does it say? Read it out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only
begotten Son, whosoever believeth him shall not perish, have everlasting life.
But have everlasting life. He gave his son. You heard Brother Terrington say, I don't know if I could do it. I'm here to tell you too. I don't know if I could do it. I pray that I would follow the Lord wherever he leads me. But can you imagine how far it is to send your only child? Now think about this. Now sometimes you call yourself being a hero because you step up to the case, and you step up to the task, you step up to that moment, and you do the right thing. But think about this thing. Think about this hero that had thousands of years since the foundations of the world to come up with another plan, to have another way, to save his son, and still had to send him. And we're not talking about somebody that don't have an IQ off the chart. We're talking about the Savior of the world. We're talking about the Creator of the world. He couldn't come up with any other. There was no other way. Do you understand me today?
Amen.
He had to send his only son to get the job done. God, give him some praise because he still did it. Amen. You ought to thank him today because he still did it, amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, turn with me to page 1207 in the old Bible, Romans 1:6. Romans 1:16. You'll find it on page 1207 in the pew. He said that you have to believe in him, amen? You'll have everlasting life. He said you have to receive him. You'll have everlasting life. Amen?
Amen.
I'm trying to very, very clearly show you what you need to do. What you need to tell people they need to do. Why are you telling us all this, Pastor? Because you are his witness.
Yes.
Don't get it twisted who you are anymore. This is who you are. Your life, your conversation, your goings, your comings, the way you handle yourself, the way you just respond to people. I'm not saying you're always going to be perfect, because the devil always going to try to trip you up. He's always going to try to put a devil in your face.
Yes.
Amen. Amen, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
But you need to still tell them about something that's real. But you need to say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And somebody needs to start knowing that you don't have to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh yeah, you be quiet. Huh? Y'all be quiet. Let me just in. The gospel of Jesus, you don't have to pick it up. You don't have to put no cherry coating on it. You don't have to do nothing to it. It don't need anything else but your witness.
Yes.
You don't save nobody. Stop trying to help them in the way that they think they need help. So what do you need? You need more money? What do you need? Oh, you don't want me to talk about that? Okay, I won't talk about that. They need the gospel. It is the power. It is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, they think they need this and they think they need that. You thought you needed a whole lot of things before the Lord finally got your understanding, didn't he?
Amen.
Some of those things you used to do, do you still do them? You didn't need them. Them places that you used to go, do you still go there all the time? I hope somebody said no. I and hear too many no's. But Jesus. In all the world. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Everybody, you got to have faith. Now, I'm sorry, y'all. You can read this Bible cover to cover 35 times. Thank you, Lord. And you still, you can have every verse memorized. I'm working on it. You can have everything back and forth and forward and backwards. You can say, I know how it happened. I know all the prophecy. I know when you said it. But if you come at the end of all of that studying and all that knowledge, and you don't have no faith. Oh, he gives you plenty to get you there.
Yes.
And you still got to take all that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And decide that you weren't there at the cross where they crucified.
Yeah.
I said, you weren't there when he got up from there. Blessed are they that saw and believed. Mm-hmm. But blessed are they that have not seen yet.
Still believe.
You have to have faith that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to help your faith. He's going to grow your faith. He's not going to just give you back nothing. He's going to start fixing all that stuff. Am I the only one in here that has stuff? I'll get real quiet when I talk about stuff. You know, the mess. I still, sometimes some of my messes I still can't even fix. I just have to trust the Lord. Is that bad?
Amen.
But I'm not guilty about it anymore because I turned it over to him. You don't have to walk around in the shame and the guilt of it anymore. God just wants you to live in the newness of life. Forgetting those things which are behind you and press for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And I don't want you to miss this part because this is the very important part. Says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed in heaven against all. Somebody say all.
All
ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Listen though. He got up on that cross so that you would try to preach my message. He got up there on the cross. This is how God works in this Bible, isn't it? This is how God works. He puts us together, and we're not together, and yet the word just comes together in the same fashion. Brother Kerrigan talked about the wrath of God this morning. Let me make it plain to you again. God does not want to put his wrath on you. But understand, just think if you sent your son to do such a thing and nobody cared. You never accepted it. And then you want to get up there in his face and say, let me in your glory? Right. And it's not good, guys. I don't care what the world has redefined wrath as. Who knows? They've redefined all kind of words. But I guarantee you, this one's going to stand in glory. All unrighteousness. And the only way to get from this place of unrighteousness is what it said. It said you have to, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? That he rose again from the dead. That he got up with all power in his hand. This is the day of resurrection. You ought to tell somebody you are his witness.
Yes.
Praise God. Page 1237, 1 Corinthians 15. I just want to make sure you know the gospel before you leave here today. You'll never be able to say, I don't know the gospel. Yes, you do. You'll know it after today. Very clearly and as plainly as I can teach you, you'll know it today. You can walk around acting confused if you want. You need a little faith is what you need.
Amen.
Because he got up from the grave.
Yes.
Brethren, it says in verse 1, I declare unto you, and I'm declaring unto you, that unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. I pray that you are already standing in there, amen. Because you don't know what's going to happen when you leave here. By which, that's page 1237, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 2 and 1. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain. That means you didn't have any faith, right? You just kind of just went to church. Yeah. I pray you not just go to church. You know, there's some people you can't even get, you can't drag them to church. That's kind of better than sitting up here and acting like you're going to church. So if you're here and you look good, you do. And I'm proud of you. And then don't believe in vain, because your faith is gonna send you straight to glory. Because Paul said in verse 3, he says, for I delivered unto you first all that which I have received, how that what? Preach the gospel, y'all. That Christ died for what? According to what?
The scripture.
You can test him and see if it's not true. Test it. And then he was what?
Buried.
And then what happened?
Broken.
On what day?
The third day.
According to what?
The scripture.
You can't make him a liar. And then what does verse 5 say? And then he was what?
Seen
of what?
The 12.
And it was seen of the 12. And then what happened after that? After this?
500
from whom the greater? And he says, after that he was seen of James and all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also. And was born out of due time. I'm telling you, you have a religion. You have a faith. You have a spiritual heritage that is based on nothing else out there. All the other people don't have no witnesses. They got a bunch of liars, but they don't have no witnesses. We got witnesses who gave their life.
Yes.
So that you could have this book. So that you could have the truth that will make you Lord, it was a Friday night. It was a Friday night when the family was sitting around the television. Somebody said, turn on the radio. Something's going on. Something's going on. Turn on the radio. And while they made the announcement, it says people are starting to die all around the world. People are starting to die from this mysterious flu. If I can have your imagination just for 5 minutes, I want to see if I can put you where God is. People were dying from this mystery flu, and within hours, it seemed that the sickness was sweeping across the country. If y'all think this is possible, you don't think this is a possible story, go home and Google out yellow fever. It's happening in South America right now. The monkeys got it, but it don't take that for the people. People are getting it too. So imagine Mason built. Scientists were feverishly working around the clock trying to find the antidote for this virus. Nothing was working. Nothing was working. The following Friday, however, suddenly good news came out that the code for the illness had been broken and a cure was possible. The vaccine could be made. However, it was going to take the blood of somebody who hadn't been affected. And so everyone was asked to go quickly. People were dying. They were just dropping like flies. Go quickly to your hospital and line up and be patient and get the blood and get the test. Have your test taken. That's all we ask you to do. So sure enough, you and your family, and to make it personal now, I'm talking about you and your family, got down there on that late Friday, and the lines were long, and the nurses and the doctors were just pricking fingers, taking blood, putting labels on it, take your blood and tell you to wait for a while, and if we don't call your name, we'll dismiss you, and you can go home. You stand there scared and your neighbors wondering what in the world is going on and if this is the end of the world. Suddenly a young man comes running out of the hospital screaming. He's yelling a name. You can't hardly hear him. He yells it again and your young son tugs you on the shirt and says, "Daddy, that's me. Daddy, that's me." Before you know it, they have grabbed your child. You say, "Wait a minute, hold on." And they say, "It's okay, his blood is clean, he's pure blood. We want to make sure he doesn't have the disease. We think that he's got the right type of blood. 5 more minutes, sir, and we'll come and let you know what we find out." Oh, and when that 5 minutes passed, the nurses and the doctors come all out into the lobby. They got smiles on their faces. They're laughing, hugging one another. People hadn't seen nobody laugh or smile in a week because everybody was dying. Old doctor comes up to him and says, "Son, sir, your son's blood is perfect. It's clean. It's pure. And we can make a vaccine." And as the word began to spread across the hospital parking lot, people started crying and praying and praising and laughing. The little gray-haired doctor pulls you and your wife aside and says this, "May I see you for a moment? We didn't realize the donor was a minor child, and we need to get you to sign some consent forms." You begin to sign the papers, and when you get to the part where it says the number of pints that they need, it was left blank. Left blank. And you ask, "How many pints do you need of my son's blood?" And the old doctor's face and countenance changed and says, "Sir, I'm sorry, we didn't realize that he was a small child. We didn't realize it would come from such a small child. Sir, please sign. We need it all." He says, "What do you mean? We need it all. There's nothing else we can do with it." In numb silence, you sign your child's death warrant. I'm just trying to get you to see it in God's word. You sign your child's death warrant. Then they say, "Would you like to have a moment with your child?" You remember that garden he went to that night before? "Can I have a moment with my child?" And you can see your child sitting on that hospital table. "God, help me. Can we walk back there and talk to him? Can you see your child back there in that room?" And you hear him say, "Daddy, Mama, what's going on?" Can you take his hand and say, "Son, can you take his hand and say, son, I love you, and you know that I would not do anything to you that didn't have to be done. Do you understand that? And that's all the time you gave." The old doctor runs back and says, "I'm sorry, we got to go. We got to get started. People are dying all over the world. Can you leave? Can you leave now? Could you turn your back on your child? Could you walk out while he's saying, 'Mommy, Daddy, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Oh, in a few weeks, they have a ceremony to honor the young son that for forgiving his life and saving the world with his pure, perfect blood. They made the vaccine, and they were able to turn back the disease. And they had this celebration. Do you know what happened? Some people slept and didn't go to the celebration. Some people slept right through it. Never gave an ounce of praise. Some people didn't come because they had made plans to go to the lake. They had made plans to go to the beach. They had made plans to go to the mall. Stick yours in there. Every reason imaginable had been given for not attending the celebration.
Some folks even came to the celebration with a pretension, like they were doing somebody a favor. He saved her with his blood.
Yes.
Some people smiled. Some people wouldn't even come, and you jump up. Now you're hot, aren't you? You jump up and say, "Don't you care? My son gave all his blood."
Yeah.
Yes. For you. Are you starting to get a feeling for what Jesus did for you, what God did for you when he sent his son? People now won't even come to the celebration. Is this what God says? My son died for you. Don't you know he died for you? Don't you care? Don't you care? My friends, God had to watch his son die on that rugged cross because there was no other way. There was nothing else that could be done. Seeing it from the Father's eyes ought to melt your heart for you today. I've done my best to try to put you in his place. In a place called imagination. But that's really what happened. The most powerful force in the whole creation of the universe planned was to give his son every ounce of blood so that you and you put your hand on your chest and you might come to know him and have ever lasting life. It ought to make, it ought to melt your heart. Verse 45 back over there. The text says this. You know, he opened up their understanding, and I pray today that your understanding has been opened up. My task is to preach repentance and the remission of sins to all the nations. And your task today now is to be his witness. Amen. He saved you. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. It may save someone. Be nice to them in a godly way, amen. Tell them about the gospel there. I know they might need a hand. That's okay giving them a hand. It's okay even giving them a handout. But God, don't let them get away from you without telling them about the gospel that can save anybody. He got up from the grave. Well, Pastor, I'm no good at talking. Well, guess what? Neither was I. I'm not even saying I'm good at it now. I just decided to give God all I had. After all, he gave all his blood. Didn't he? He deserved your very best. So listen to me today. He took your mess and changed it into best. He took your ugly and made it beautiful. He took your pain and made it into joy. He took your hopelessness and turned it into hope eternal. If you have all those things, then you are his witness. And if you don't have all those things or any of those things, then you need to know about the one who can give you all those things. There's so many people out there that are walking around like this, amen?
Amen.
Let's just put that, what I just told you, around. There's still people walking around in their hopelessness. There's still people walking around in their mess. God can't bless that. Walking around with no joy. Y'all know anybody like that? He needs you to be his Let's give God a clap.